Monday, February 17th. First reading from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15 and 25. The man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have produced a man with the help of the Lord." Next she bore his brother Abel. Abel became a keeper of flocks, and Cain a tiller of the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the soil, while Abel, for his part, brought one of the best firstlings of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not. Cain greatly resented this and was crestfallen. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you so resentful and crestfallen? If you do well, you can hold up your head. But if not, sin is a demon lurking at the door. His urge is toward you, yet you can be his master." Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out into the field." When they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" He answered, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord then said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the soil. Therefore you shall be banned from the soil that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. If you till the soil, it shall no longer give you its produce. You shall become a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Since you have now banished me from the soil, and I must avoid your presence and become a restless wanderer on the earth, anyone may kill me at sight." "Not so," the Lord said to him. "If anyone kills Cain, Cain shall be avenged sevenfold." So the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest anyone should kill him at sight. Adam again had relations with his wife, and she gave birth to a son whom she called Seth. "God has granted me more offspring in place of Abel," she said, "because Cain slew him." Haydock Commentary. God showed his acceptance of the sacrifice of Abel as coming from a heart full of devotion, and that we may suppose by some visible token, such as sending fire from heaven upon his offerings. The offerings of Cain are mentioned without any approbation. Those of Abel are the firstlings and fat, or the very best, by which he testified that he acknowledged God for his first beginning. Sacrifice is due to God alone, and to him it has always been offered in the church. We have the happiness to offer that truly Eucharistic sacrifice to God, of which those of ancient times were only figures. When God tells Cain he can be the master of his sinful urge, this is a clear proof of free will. The whole discourse is about doing well or ill, and Cain is encouraged to avoid the stings of conscience by altering his conduct as it was in his power, howsoever strongly his passions might solicit him to evil. We with all antiquity must cry out with St. Jerome, "God made us with free will. Neither are we drawn by necessity to virtue or vice. Where there is necessity, there is neither damnation nor reward." Abel's violent death was a figure of that of Jesus Christ, inflicted for the like cause. See Hebrews 12:2. In consequence of these crimes, Cain separated from the church, and the Jews became no longer God's people. Both Cain and the Jews became vagabonds. When Cain says, "My punishment is too great to bear," he, like Judas, despairs. It is as if he says, "My sin is too great to be borne. I must then be driven from the land of my nativity, from the society of my brethren and parents, from thy presence forever. Why then do I live?" When Cain says that anyone would kill him at first sight, his guilty conscience made him fear his own brothers and nephews, of whom by this time there might be a good number upon the earth, which had now endured near 130 years, as may be gathered from Genesis 5:3. Cain is little concerned about anything but the loss of life. Regarding the mark placed upon Cain, the more common opinion of the interpreters of Holy Writ supposes this mark to have been a trembling of the body, or a horror and consternation in his countenance. God gave this first murderer a reprieve, allowing him time for repentance, but he neglected it and died a reprobate. The Gospel from Mark chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. The Pharisees came forward and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed from the depth of his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Amen, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Then he left them, got into the boat again, and went off to the other shore. Haydock Commentary. Jesus Christ did not consent to the petition they made him because there will be another time for signs and wonders, namely his second coming, when the powers of heaven shall be moved and the moon refuse her light. This, his first coming, is not to terrify man, but to instruct and store his mind with lessons of humility and every other virtue. Jesus Christ sighs from the depth of his spirit on account of their obduracy and says, "Why do these ask for a miracle to confirm their belief when they resist the authority of so many miracles which are daily performed under their eyes?"